I'm Carol Hills, and you're listening to The World. Happy Friday, and thanks for being with us. Tomorrow promises to be a big day for science in Washington, D.C. The Capitol is playing host to the March for Science. There will be speakers, workshops, and yes, a march. It's all a push for science to play a bigger role in the Trump administration's policymaking. In a few minutes, we'll hear more about some of the problems march organizers have had in making the demonstration inclusive and diverse. But first, The World's Carolyn Beeler is here to tell us how the movement has expanded far beyond the Beltway.
It did start as a reaction to things happening in Washington, D.C., but it quickly spread. There are now nearly 550 satellite marches planned for around the world, and 140 of those are abroad, from Bhutan to the North Pole. The lead organizer for all these so-called satellite marches is a guy named Kishore Hari, and he says he was surprised by this big interest.
When we started, I expected there might be 50 marches, and I thought they would all be in the U.S., and quickly, we were proved wrong because there was this flood of requests, especially from communities abroad, that wanted to hold science marches for different reasons.
Are these other marches around the world, and it sounds like there's a lot of them, are they kind of in solidarity with the U.S. and trying to push the Trump administration to take stronger stands on, say, global warming, or are they responding to their own domestic concerns?
There is this idea of solidarity and that all these marches on the same day send a bigger message than individual marches. But what really struck me when I was speaking to organizers of the global marches is that local issues are really motivating each individual march. So I spoke to Renee Schroeder, who's a geneticist who's going to be marching in Vienna on Saturday. And she says she's marching in a way against the populist and far-right movement that's rising in Europe that she sees as sort of anti-enlightenment.
I'm concerned, and many people are concerned, that we have to speak up again for science and for rational decisions. All these things we have been fighting for the last 50, 60 years.
And in France, organizers are really hoping to rile up pro-science folks at the demonstration on Saturday so that they'll turn out to the polls on Sunday.
So it sounds like in Europe, they're really linking science to trying to counter a populist political movement. But is that the case with the marches happening in far-flung parts of the world outside of Europe and North America?
So the motivations are really different all around the globe. So I spoke to a Nigerian, Ncheche Isaac, who's an organizer of the march in the capital of Abuja. And she says that the march there is largely focused on actually pushing for acceptance of genetically modified crops there.
We need science, especially when it comes to food security. We need GMOs. We need biotechnology to be able to feed the nation, the growing population. That's essentially why we are marching.
And in Brazil, physicist Tatiana Rapoport says their demonstration is just one that they have planned over the past several months to protest huge cuts in research funding.
Brazil had a cut in the science and technology budget of almost 50% this year. And we are marching to make the public aware of these cuts and the consequence for the development of the country.
It's interesting you pair those two, Brazil and Nigeria. Nigeria really wants GMOs, and a country like Brazil has tried to fight them forever. And, of course, Europe, who you're contrasting, Europe has been completely against GMOs. So it's really telling about what a developing country may want versus a more industrialized.
Yeah, and Carol, just as people are pushing for different things in different countries, they're also demonstrating in different ways. So actually, all these events that are happening around the world aren't marches, all of them. In Rio, where they're protesting big cuts to science funding, they're actually having what they're calling a scissors orchestra, where a bunch of people will be playing the scissors as an allusion to budget cuts. There's also a brunch for science in Singapore, not a march. There's a rally here in Boston. There are teach-ins and workshops in Ghana and in South Africa, where the march will really be focused on access to STEM education. They'll be ending at the local science museum in Cape Town to start that access to STEM education right there during the March for Science.
Carolyn, it's really interesting, but of course I have to get to the age-old question. A march is a march, but what about real action and policy? What's likely to come out of this?
That is always the question, and it's hard to say before the event has even taken place. I will say there are two unique things about this march. The first is that it's rather unprecedented. Especially in the United States, scientists have been wary of stepping into both policy and politics in the past. And since the election of Donald Trump, there's been a big movement to try to politically activate the science community. And this is a big sign of that. Second, there are some very discreet requests and asks that some of these international marches are making. And so that might make it easier for steering committees and organizers to keep their marchers involved in pushing for those policy changes long after the march is over.
The World's Carolyn Beeler. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.